What is Art? By Leo Tolstoy, Chapter 5, published in 1897. What is art if we put aside the conception of beauty which confuses the whole matter? The latest and most comprehensible definitions of art, apart from the conception of beauty, are the following. 1a. Art is an activity arising even in the animal kingdom and springing from sexual desire and the propensity to play. That's according to Schiller, Darwin, Spencer. And 1b, accompanied by a pleasurable excitement of the nervous system, Grant Allen. This is the physiological evolutionary definition. 2. Art is the external manifestation by means of lines, colors, movements, sounds, or words of emotions felt by man. Veyron. Don't know. This is the experimental definition. According to the very latest definition, Sully, 3. Art is the production of some permanent object or passing action which is fitted not only to supply an active enjoyment to the producer, but to convey a pleasurable impression to a number of spectators or listeners, quite apart from any personal advantage to be derived from it. Notwithstanding the superiority of these definitions to the metaphysical definitions which depended on the conception of beauty, they are yet far from exact. 1a. The first, the physiological evolutionary definition, is inexact, because instead of speaking about the artistic activity itself, which is the real matter in hand, it treats of the derivation of art. The modification of it, 1b, based on the physiological effects on the human organism, is inexact, because within the limits of such definition, many other human activities can be included, as has occurred in the neo-aesthetic theories, which reckon as art the preparation of handsome clothes, pleasant scents, and even of victuals. The experimental definition, too, which makes art consist in the expression of emotions, is inexact, because a man may express his emotions by means of lines, colors, sounds, or words, and yet may not act on others by such expression. And then the manifestations of emotions is not art. The third definition, that of Sully, is inexact, because in the production of objects or actions affording pleasure to the producer and a pleasant emotion to the spectators or hearers, apart from the personal advantage, may be included the showing of conjuring tricks or gymnastic exercises and other activities which are not art. And further, many things, the production of which does not afford pleasure to the producer and the sensation received from which is unpleasant, such as gloomy, heart-rending scenes in a poetic description or play, may nevertheless be undoubted works of art. The inaccuracy of all these definitions arises from the fact that in them all, as also in the metaphysical definitions, the object considered is the pleasure art may give and not the purpose it may serve in the life of man and of humanity. In order correctly to define art, it is necessary, first of all, to cease to consider it as a means to pleasure and to consider it as one of the conditions of human life. Viewing it in this way, we cannot fail to observe that art is one of the means of intercourse between man and man. Every work of art causes the receiver to enter into a certain kind of relationship both with him who produced it, or is producing the art, and with all those who simultaneously, previously, or subsequently receive the same artistic impression. Speech, transmitting the thoughts and expressions of men, serves as a means of union among them, and art acts in a similar manner. The peculiarity of this latter means of intercourse, distinguishing it from intercourse by means of words, consists in this, that whereas by words a man transmits his thoughts to another, by means of art he transmits his feelings. The activity of art is based on the fact that a man, receiving through his sense of hearing or sight another man's expression of feeling, is capable of experiencing the emotion which moved the man who expressed it. To take the simplest example, one man laughs and another who hears becomes merry, or a man weeps and another who hears feels sorrow. A man is excited or irritated, and another man, seeing him, comes to a similar state of mind. By his movements or by the sounds of his voice, a man expresses courage and determination, or sadness and calmness, and this state of mind passes on to others. A man suffers, expressing his sufferings by groans and spasms, and this suffering transmits itself to other people. A man expresses his feeling of admiration, devotion, fear, respect, or love to certain objects, persons, or phenomena, and others are infected by the same feelings of admiration, devotion, fear, respect, or love to the same objects, persons, and phenomena. And it is on this capacity of man to receive another man's expression of feeling and experience those feelings himself that the activity of art is based. If a man infects another or others directly, immediately, by his appearance or by the sounds he gives vent to at the very time he expresses the feeling, if he causes another man to yawn while he himself cannot stop yawning, or to laugh or cry when he himself is obliged to laugh or cry, or to suffer when he himself is suffering, that does not amount to art. Art begins when one person, with the object of joining another or others to himself in one and the same feeling, expresses that feeling by certain external indications. To take the simplest example, a boy, having experienced, let us say, fear on encountering a wolf, relates that encounter, and in order to evoke in others the feeling he has experienced, describes himself, his condition before the encounter, the surroundings, the wood, his own lightheartedness, and then the wolf's appearance, its movements, the distance between himself and the wolf, etc. All this, if only the boy, when telling the story, again experiences the feelings he had lived through and infects the hearers and compels them to feel what the narrator had experienced, is art. If even the boy had not seen a wolf, but had frequently been afraid of one, and if, wishing to evoke in others the fear he had felt, he invented an encounter with a wolf and recounted it so as to make his hearers share the feelings he experienced when he feared the wolf, that also would be art. And just in the same way, it is art if a man, having experienced either the fear of suffering or the attraction of enjoyment, whether in reality or in imagination, expresses these feelings on canvas or in marble so that others are infected by them. And it is also art if a man feels or imagines to himself feelings of delight, gladness, sorrow, despair, courage, or despondency, and the transition from one to another of these feelings, and expresses these feelings by sound so that the hearers are infected by them, and experience them as they were experienced by the composer. The feelings with which the artist infects others may be most various, very strong or very weak, very important or very insignificant, very bad or very good. Feelings of love for native land, self-devotion and submission to fate or to God expressed in a drama, raptures of lovers described in a novel, feelings of voluptuousness expressed in a picture, courage expressed in a triumphal march, merriment evoked by a dance, humor evoked by a funny story, the feeling of quietness transmitted by an evening landscape or by a lullaby, or the feeling of admiration evoked by a beautiful arabesque. It is all art. If only the spectators or auditors are infected by the feelings which the author has felt, it is art. To evoke in oneself a feeling one has once experienced, and having evoked it in oneself, then, by means of movements, lines, colors, sounds, or forms expressed in words, so to transmit that feeling that others may experience the same feeling, this is the activity of art. Art is a human activity consisting in this, that one man consciously, by means of certain external signs, hands on to others feelings he has lived through, and that other people are infected by these feelings, and also experience them. Art is not, as the metaphysicians say, the manifestation of some mysterious idea of beauty or God. It is not, as the aesthetical physiologists say, a game in which man lets off his excess of stored-up energy. It is not the expression of a man's emotions by external signs. It is not the production of pleasing objects, and above all, it is not pleasure. It is a means of union among men, joining them together in the same feelings, and indispensable for the life and progress towards well-being of individuals and of humanity. As, thanks to man's capacity to express thoughts by words, every man may know all that has been done for him in the realms of thought by all humanity before his day, and can, in the present, thanks to this capacity to understand the thoughts of others, become a sharer in their activity, and can himself hand on to his contemporaries and descendants the thoughts he has assimilated from others, as well as those which have arisen within himself. So, thanks to man's capacity to be infected with the feelings of others by means of art, all that is being lived through by his contemporaries is accessible to him, as well as the feelings experienced by men thousands of years ago, and he has also the possibility of transmitting his own feelings to others. If people lacked this capacity to receive the thoughts conceived by men who preceded them, and to pass on to others their own thoughts, men would be like wild beasts, or like Caspar Hauser. And if men lacked this other capacity of being infected by all art, people might be almost more savage still, and above all, more separated from and more hostile to one another. And therefore, the activity of art is a most important one, as important as the activity of speech itself, and as generally diffused. We are accustomed to understand art to be only what we hear and see in theaters, concerts, and exhibitions, together with buildings, statues, poems, novels. But all this is but the smallest part of the art by which we communicate with each other in life. All human life is filled with works of art, of every kind, from cradle song, jest, mimicry, the ornamentation of houses, dress and utensils, up to church services, buildings, monuments, and triumphal processions. It is all artistic activity. So that by art, in the limited sense of the word, we do not mean all human activity transmitting feelings, but only that part of which we for some reason select from it, and to which we attach special importance. This special importance has always been given by all men to that part of this activity which transmits feelings flowing from their religious perception, and this small part of art they have specifically called art, attaching to it the full meaning of the word. That was how men of old, Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle, looked on art. Thus did the Hebrew prophets and the ancient Christians regard art. Thus it was, and still is, understood by the Mohammedans, and thus it is still understood by religious folk among our own peasantry. Some teachers of mankind, as Plato in his Republic, and people such as the primitive Christians, the strict Mohammedans, and the Buddhists, have gone so far as to repudiate all art. People viewing art in this way, in contradiction to the prevalent view of today, which regards any art as good if only it affords pleasure, consider that art, as contrasted with speech, which need not be listened to, is so highly dangerous in its power to infect people against their wills that mankind will lose far less by banishing all art than by tolerating each and every art. Evidently, such people were wrong in repudiating all art, for they denied that which cannot be denied, one of the indispensable means of communication without which mankind could not exist. But not less wrong are the people of civilized European society of our class and day in favoring any art if it but serves beauty, i.e. gives people pleasure. Formerly, people feared lest among the works of art there might chance to be some causing corruption, and they prohibited art altogether. Now they only fear lest they should be deprived of any enjoyment art can afford, and patronize any art. And I think the last error is much grosser than the first, and that its consequences are far more harmful.